WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. On this show, you hear a lot about the politics of people here in Southeast Michigan, and I have to admit, a lot of our coverage includes the perspectives of Oakland County and Detroit residents. That's where we lean really heavily here on Detroit Today. But Macomb County is just as an important piece of the region in our state. Democrats now have a majority in the state House and Senate, and they had to get that majority by winning seats in Macomb along with the other counties. That did happen last Tuesday in at least two races that were pretty much toss-ups going into the election. And today we want to know, how did the Democrats in those districts do it? What are the issues that Macomb voters care about the most? And what does a Macomb Democrat look like today? Remember, Macomb County is the home, the original home of the Reagan Democrats. It's where that term was coined back in the 1980s. And it reflects the both the working class roots of folks in Macomb County, but also the kind of conservative values that many of them have. In this election, it seems that those Reagan Democrats, to the extent that they still exist, voted for Democrats in many of the races. We want to know what it is that's on their minds and what they expect from this new Democratic majority. A little later, we are going to talk with Kevin Hertel, who is the current state rep for the 18th House District and state senator-elect for District 12. He won by a razor-thin margin in his Macomb County district. But right now, we're going to speak with Veronica Kleinfeld. She is a Macomb County commissioner and now state senator-elect for District 11, which covers parts of Macomb County and parts of Detroit. Remember, we now have a number of districts and more districts than we have perhaps ever before that stretch across 8 Mile and Telegraph and the city's other borders to include other communities. State Senator-elect Kleinfeld, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning.
And congratulations on your win last week. As I was saying to our listeners earlier, these two races, if you watched television at all in the last two or three months, I feel like I know everything about the issues in your race because there were nonstop commercials about it on both sides, commercials for your candidacy and then, of course, commercials against. But let's talk a little about your district and your campaign. As I said, your district covers portions of Detroit as well as Macomb County, areas that are kind of divergent politically, with some of the areas of Macomb being a little more conservative and some of the areas of Detroit being more progressive. So tell me about how you put together a campaign to appeal to voters all across that district and what issues you feel resonated.
Well, you know, you're correct that the northern end of my district is predominantly red and the southern end is predominantly blue. But what everybody has in common is their sense of community and the importance they tie to how their communities thrive. So I campaigned on, you know, healthy school districts because they are the hub of most of these communities, investing in the school districts. I'm a big infrastructure gal, investing in infrastructure all over the place and investing in things that increase the quality of life in a community. And because I believe if you do that, you retain your workforce and you increase your business aspects as well.
And so you feel like those were the issues that that brought people out, both Democrat and Republican, to deliver a win for you last week?
I think people came out for all sorts of reasons, but ultimately when I was knocking the doors, no matter where I was knocking, those were issues that were important to them and resonated with them. And I was talking about things that they seemed to be excited to hear about.
So this district, as I pointed out, is something of a newish phenomenon here in Southeast Michigan, these shared districts across municipal borders and across county borders in some case. Talk about the expectations, I guess, that might differ from Detroiters in your district and folks in Macomb County, many of whom are people who left the city to live in another place. I imagine that's a different challenge than many of the people in the legislature have faced before.
Well, because of the nature of these districts, what I found knocking doors in Detroit was that it was just important to them that if I'm elected, I remain present there. And we were very present during the campaigning part of this. And I intend to remain very present throughout my term. I live in East Point, which is relatively close to Detroit. Well, it borders Detroit. So I plan to be very present there. And then being a county commissioner, I've already been working on issues that affect everybody in Macomb County and services that affect everybody in Macomb County. So I think I will be focusing on things that the residents in the entirety of the district see as a priority, but also recognizing the aging communities need investment because the key to revitalizing all of Detroit and Metro Detroit area is to revitalize our aging communities.
So the new majority in Lansing is going to be pretty narrow, and there are, I think, some natural tensions that will exist between, for instance, liberal interests and groups that have waited a really long time to get power in Lansing, to being able to enact some of the things that are important to them, and folks who voted for this new majority but don't consider themselves particularly liberal or maybe not even Democrats, right? There are a lot of Republicans, I think, who crossed over. A lot of people who consider themselves independents who helped deliver this majority. I wonder, in your mind, how you balance those things, how you balance the expectation that this majority should produce different outcomes than we've seen and more wins for liberals. But of course, you want to hang on to that majority, and you've got to be careful not to alienate the other voters.
Well, I think it's very important that we come together and get behind things that we all agree on first out of the gate. I think we all have philosophies that align, and I don't see any reason to start out with any tensions. I'm interested in hearing what everybody that has been there for a while and has wanted to make change, what it is they're looking to do. I'm hoping to come in and do a little bit of learning before I jump in and start throwing my weight around. I think that would be the appropriate thing to do. And ultimately, I keep in mind, I represent this district and I represent the people of this district and the philosophy of this district. So I think the best case scenario is we first find common ground and move forward with that, and then maybe tackle some of the tougher issues a little bit down the road. And I don't know that there are that many of them.
Yeah. So the economic issues are the things that I think I'm hearing from lots of people. I mean, people are really anxious about inflation, if not about the overall economy. What kinds of things do you think you can do in Lansing that will address those issues? Those are issues that, of course, resonate in Detroit as much as they do in Macomb County.
I think there are some things we can look at, like the pension tax and things like that, that will give a little bit of relief, maybe help with early childhood learning. Because, you know, ultimately, if you invest in a child early on, you pay less down the road as they go through school. I've served on a school board and I've seen that time and time again. The resources that you have to spend later on are far less significant if a child is ready when they hit the ground running. So issues like that that resonate with everybody and can help people with things like inflation, I think that's a good start. And ultimately, I'm a big believer that we need to pay folks for the work that they do and properly pay them and fairly pay them. We've had a lot of record-breaking profits over the years, and we've seen stagnant wages in middle-income areas. And I just think if we want to be successful, everybody from the top guy all the way down, everybody's job has to be valued and rewarded.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking with Veronica Kleinfeld. She is the state senator elect for District 11 in Lansing, which covers parts of Macomb County and parts of Detroit. She's one of the new members of the Democratic majority, that first Democratic majority in the state Senate in 40 years. We're talking about her win in Macomb County, but also what's on the agenda for Democrats when they do get power in January. We, of course, want to hear from you, the listeners, while we're having this discussion. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this Democratic majority. Are you someone who lives in the 11th district and will be represented by Veronica Kleinfeld in January? What do you expect out of this new Democratic majority? What are the kinds of issues that are on your mind? What do you think they can do about some of the challenges that we have? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to add another voice to this conversation, Kevin Hertel, who is state senator-elect in District 12, also in Macomb County, also a pretty tight race in last Tuesday's elections. We'll hear about his win and his agenda. Also continue to hear from you on the phones and on Twitter. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Today on 101.9 WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking this hour about the new Democratic majority that's coming together in Lansing in January. Right now, we're talking to two members of that new Democratic majority. Veronica Kleinfeld was the winner in State Senate District 11, which covers parts of Macomb County and Detroit. Also, want to introduce another member of that majority, Kevin Hertel. Is the current state representative for the 18th House District and is now the state senator-elect for District 12. Kevin, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And as always, remember, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we could include you in the conversation that way. Kevin, I want to talk to you a bit about your race. Boy, that was pretty close. Couldn't have been much closer, but you were the victor in the end. Talk about the message that you think put you over the top.
Well, we knew very early on in this race that it was always going to be close and that we had to go out and earn every single vote. And, you know, from the beginning, knocking doors in the spring of this year, we realized very quickly that folks were not looking at candidates strictly as Democrats or Republicans. They were looking for individuals who had a record of getting things done and had a plan to fix the issues that are facing our communities. And we're sick of the divisive rhetoric, the culture wars that have attempted to pit all of us against each other. And wanted folks that were really going to sit down and solve problems. And so once we realized that, we knew we had to go out and have those conversations directly with voters. And really, that's what we did. We took our campaign message directly to the doorsteps of voters across our districts and made over 122,000 individual voter contacts and, you know, showed up every day with the intent of going out, having these tough conversations and making sure that folks knew that we were willing to come to the table in a way to solve problems.
Mm. As I've said a couple times during the show today, the ads in not just your race, but also in Veronica Kleinfeld's race, were just nonstop on my television, at least for the last couple of months, and they were pretty vicious. Talk about the things that you think maybe turned voters off about you or your opponent, given the nastiness, I guess, of this campaign. And look, I mean, this was a key seat for either side. Both had to have it, obviously, I think, to think about a majority. But there was something unusual, I guess, about the ads this cycle, not just from the campaigns, but these third party ads that were so nasty.
Yeah, I mean, it got to the point where my wife wouldn't even turn the TV on anymore. And I think one of the hardest things for me was when my 5-year-old son was watching a show on YouTube, and before his show or during a break, a negative ad on me came up. And he had questions about that. He is old enough to understand that it was not a good ad. It wasn't talking about good work that I had done. And, you know, frankly, we saw this across the state in many races, Veronica and mine included. But, you know, I pushed every day to try to get some more positive messaging up, because I was hearing at the doors that that's what voters really wanted to see. Mm. What are you going to do to make our lives better, to improve our communities? And so we were able to get some of that up on our side. And I think that was actually a definitive factor in this race.
Yeah.
My opponent had very little positive messaging up. I mean, it was, the entire campaign was built on the idea that you had to vote against me, not vote for somebody else. And I think voters are sick of that type of rhetoric. They want to see candidates that are going to actually deliver for the communities and not just vote against something. And frankly, the ads that they had up against me were just, ludicrous, to the point where they were throwing anything at the wall to see if it would stick. And I think voters see through that. They're smart enough to understand that those are built for a reason. And like I said, they want to see what you're going to actually do.
Mm-hmm. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Kyle in Ypsilanti. Kyle, go ahead.
Hi, I'm wondering if part of any of the agenda of the representatives present has anything to do with giving resources to felons post-release. Mm. Macomb County is a tough county to be in if you're a felon. You know, Washtenaw has had good luck with banning the box and things like that. And I'm wondering, you know, with all the emphasis on getting folks into prison in this campaign cycle, if anywhere on the agenda you have some resources to help folks get jobs, to help folks get housing, to help folks stay out of prison once they're out.
Yeah, it's a great question, Kyle. It's an issue that, as you point out, is not just a big deal in Macomb, but all over the state. Veronica Kleinfeld, I'll start with you and then get to Kevin Hertel.
It hasn't been something that people raised with me on the doors, but it's not something I'm opposed to looking at. As a commissioner, right now we're redoing our entire jail intake system because we want to lower the number of people that are being incarcerated due to mental health issues or substance use issues. And I think that's very important, but you're correct. There are folks that are already in that need to get their foot in the door back into society coming out. So I'm open to listening and looking at the types of legislation that would come forward in that area.
Yeah. Kevin, what's your take on that?
Yeah, this is something that I've always been passionate about, and the fact that I think we need to look at making sure our criminal justice system is more humane, and that the tax dollars that we're spending are used in the most efficient way possible. And I think we know that I agree wholeheartedly with Veronica, the front end of this, to make sure that we are investing, to make sure through the Macomb County Jail Intake System, which we have fought to get an appropriation at the state level for in recent years, that will make sure if somebody comes into contact with the criminal justice system who has a substance abuse issue or a mental health issue, that that's being treated, that we are not just locking somebody away and allowing those problems to become worse. And I think we have to make sure when we provide those services and invest in people across our community, and we make them better citizens near the end. So there's no doubt that it's something we have to focus on. It is better for our community. When everybody does better, we all do better. And so we, I think, can look at real policies, and I'd be happy to talk with anybody willing to sit down and address some of these problems. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I think as politicians, we have to do a very good job of understanding what we can do to make this better and find ways to focus on that.
Mm, yeah. We've got a couple of questions on Twitter about auto no-fault, something that we took a crack at in Lansing a couple of years back, and that I don't know that there are many people who are very happy with it. I've heard a lot of folks in the last week ask questions about whether we need to take another crack at it and do better for consumers. Kevin, what's your take on that?
I think this is a conversation that's going to have to be had early on with our leadership. The governor has been, I think, pretty clear that she is willing to look at a fix to make sure that those who need the care are getting the care that they were promised. And I've had many conversations with folks across my district currently and across the state that have been impacted by the new law. Now, the court has ruled to provide that care to anybody before that was in the Catastrophic Claims Association before the new law was put in place. I think we need to make there are families out there that are struggling today to provide this care to their loved ones, and they're getting less care than they had under the previous system, and we need to make sure that that's addressed. And I, you know, that's going to have to be a conversation between the Senate, the House, and the governor's office of how we can actually get to a solution here. But I think you have willing partners in all of those who will come to the table, have an honest conversation, and you know, address some of the needs that are out there today.
Mm, yeah, Veronica, what do you think we could do to lower prices? That's the thing that everyone was looking forward to, and it just hadn't happened for a lot of folks.
You know, I don't have the answer to that, but I will tell you this was one of the number one things that people talked to me on the doors about, which actually surprised me. Mm. Between family members of somebody that's been injured, workers that are being displaced because of the compensation of the workers that go into the home, and businesses going out of business because of that compensation. Not only do we have to take care of those folks, but we now have a shortage of the people that can take care of those folks because of that aspect of it. I really do want to take a good look at that, because ultimately, we've got to have people in those homes taking care of those folks. And when they originally were paying insurance, that was the agreement. And it was sort of broken. And it may be getting corrected on the legal side. But ultimately, if all of those companies are going out of business, we've got a problem and we have to take a look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's quickly go to Dave in Farmington. Dave, we've only got a couple minutes left, but go ahead. Are you there, Dave? All right, Dave, you're not really paying attention. Let's go to Robert in Detroit. Robert, quickly. Go ahead.
I know there's not much time, but North Dakota has a state bank, and that could help students with student loans. Mm. That could help in the marijuana industry that don't know where to put their money. That could help microloans for mortgages and things. Septic tanks all over the state are leaking, and the people don't have the money to fix them. So that's one thing. Also, the utility companies, I think their profits are too high. Why do they advertise on TV if they're, you know, if they have a public monopoly, basically? So, you know, You can save people money in a lot of different ways through these ideas. Yeah. Please listen to the show regularly if you don't have the ideas.
Yeah. Robert, appreciate that. Quickly, Veronica and Kevin, we'll have to get your responses. Veronica, you go first.
First of all, you're correct that I don't know enough about all of the issues. I've spent 10 years working on county issues, and I'm really eager to learn about all the options, because I think we have to be strategic in how we do things, and we have to get the best bang out of our buck. And I really appreciate calls like this that put things on my radar that weren't necessarily on my radar before. And I am looking forward to hearing more ideas like that from residents and constituents, because I think ultimately that'll make me a better legislator.
Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's apparent that we have a lot of policy issues, right, that we need to address. And everybody has their priorities, and we're going to have to sit down and work on many of these issues in the coming years. The state bank is something that I've supported while in the House, and I've actually co-sponsored legislation in the past. And I think the caller is absolutely right that whether it's around marijuana issues and the disconnect with between state law and the federal law, and allowing folks to have a spot to put that money here in the state, student loan options, it opens up a lot of possibilities and actually would be a net positive, I believe, for the state at the end of the day. So I've always supported that. You know, the septic tank issue is a very important issue that I've tried to work with many different stakeholders across the state on. We see it in Macomb County on properties that are on the Clinton River that have been found in recent years that discharge sewage directly into the river, and it's something that we have to get a handle on. And from a policy perspective on when those inspections occur, what are the requirements when properties change hands and things like that. So there is no shortage of issues that we need to address. I'm excited to have the opportunity now to work on these issues with my colleagues in Lansing in a way that I think will benefit the people of the state of Michigan like we haven't seen in decades. So I'm excited for that opportunity.
Okay. Kevin Hertel and Veronica Kleinfeld, it was really great to have both of you here to talk about this new Democratic majority in Lansing and the agenda. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Stephen. Thank you.
Okay, that's going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we're going to talk with Anika Goss of Detroit Future City about a new report they have that shows how and why businesses are interested in investing in Detroit. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.